The Bible tells us about a time that will occur in the future. But what we are doing right now is preparing for what is to come. And my message today is going to be focusing on the parable that we read about in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 31 and 32. So Christ talks about a parable at that time to the many people that were listening to him, that were trying to understand, but they couldn't. In fact, many of the parables, that's why he was speaking in parables, was explaining things in a way which majority of the people had no clue what he was talking about. Even a lot of the disciples had no idea what he was talking about, which is why he had to then explain them. This is very similar to what we are doing today by proclaiming the truth and preaching and teaching the true gospel to the world as a witness. Yet many that may hear us do not understand what we are trying to explain. Simply reading the Bible says, or simply reading what the Bible says, is a big parable to the majority of the world, for they do not understand what they are reading. Because if they did understand what they were reading, they would do what it says. I'm talking about all things. They pick and choose what is relevant according to themselves, what is desirable in their own eyes, while leaving out or not even applying what is considered important to God. So in this parable, going back to Matthew chapter 13, in verse 31, it says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed." So this kingdom of heaven, which is also the kingdom of God, will come upon this earth, and this already is a mystery to mankind. The majority has no clue about this. This kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, as it explains. It is small, and it is seemingly insignificant. In fact, it is the least of all the seeds, just like you and me in this world. What comparison do we have against those who are great and powerful on this earth, who are looked upon as idols, looked upon as heroes, the rich and the wealthy? Are we any of those people? Yet, because of our beliefs and what we stand for, we are looked upon as outcasts. We will be hated if we are not already. And if you haven't experienced that yet, you will. That is, if you do not quit first. Let's look at Luke chapter 21 and in verse 12. Luke chapter 21 and verse 12. We read, starting with that verse, "But before all these things, they will lay their hands..." Okay, so before the things of the Great Tribulation, or a lot of things that are going to be happening before that, that is, which the verses from 7 to 11 explain. But before all these things happen, and at that time it's really going to be bad. "But they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons. You will be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. But it will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony." Have any of us already experienced something like that, let's say in a court setting? I can smile about that. But have you? Even jury duty, for example. If they're not going to accept that and you have to go there to court and you have to stand there and plead your case, you know, Bible's saying it right here. "Will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony." Or you have to stand up for yourself. "Therefore, settle it in your hearts not to meditate beforehand on what you will answer. Because we have the Holy Spirit within us, we will have that help. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist." If we have anything to worry about to what to say, prayer is very powerful in that time. Verse 16, "You will be betrayed, even by parents and brothers, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death." And you will be hated by all for not my name's sake. But even if the whole world will hate you, you're never going to be alone anyway. Because verse 18, but not a hair of your head shall be lost. By your patience, possess your souls. And then also look at chapter 6 of Luke in verse 22 and 23. Luke chapter 6, verse 22. Blessed are you when men hate you, and when they exclude you, and revile you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. And then what we do is what we read in verse 23. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for indeed your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner their fathers did to the prophets. So we rejoice during that time when we are hated. So going back to Matthew 13, this mustard seed, which you read about here, describes you and me. And it is going to grow into something far greater and much more important than anything that this world has to offer. Greater than the herbs, and it becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air, that is the people of this world, who didn't know the truth first, like you and I do now, will then learn it from us as they come and nest in the tree's branches. We will teach the world and all those who hated us for what we believed. All along, they will remember, especially those who knew the truth and failed to stick with it. And they will certainly remember what a mistake they have done. Yes, we suffer for righteousness' sake. Yes, times will get tougher. Yes, we will be put on the spot to defend ourselves, to choose between what is right and wrong, to be asked to compromise. And how will we respond? Will we be strong enough? Will we give in? Or will we give up? Will we think to ourselves, I don't want to live this way of life now that God wants, but I want to be free and I want to enjoy the things that this world has to offer first, because then I'm going to have another chance anyway when Christ returns to live a righteous life. This, however, is the absolute wrong way of thinking. Notice 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21 and 22. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. It would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb. A dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow, having washed, to let her wallowing in the mire. Returning right back to what they came out of, going back into the sinful conduct. You know, since you know the truth, for those who have known the truth, or had a taste of that, and those who are still alive today who forsook it, and they choose to reject God, thereby at the same time not receiving his protection, as they will go through the great tribulation described in the book of Revelation. Why in the world would you want to go through something like that? If you think you can survive during that and those trials, good luck. Yes, God makes a promise to those who remain faithful, and he will take care of us. It is a promise. But we have to believe. Trust me on this. At times we may feel small when we are faced with enormous trials. But that what is small will turn into something big. And God has very big plans for you and me, if we remain obedient. So please don't mess it up.